The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Sure enough, the ref was over. What's your name? And him talking to me for all match the ref. He's the captain for Trouser, up and he's chatting to me. I'm loving the Paddy set. Paddy Andrews, red card.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
This is News Talk.
All right, you're welcome along. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Hope you're keeping well. We've got a busy show lined up. Tommy Bowe will be with us at 7:30. It really feels like the British and Irish Lions tour to South Africa has started right now. Cracking game last night against South Africa A, as they were called, but a real opportunity for Warren Gatland to get a taste of what they will get in the first test, which is just under 10 days away now. Remember, every single match live here on Off the Ball. After 8, we'll be looking ahead to a massive weekend in the Football Championship, particularly up in Ulster with both semi-finals taking place. We will have Cor Staunton and Brendan Devenny coming your way after 8 o'clock. We'll also check in on the NBA playoffs. And then on the football show, a little bit later than normal, John Giles is going to be with us giving his thoughts on the Euro 2020 final and the tournament as a whole. And Philippe Auclair about the reaction in France to their exit. Also the financial crisis in French football, really dire state for everybody in French football away from Paris Saint-Germain, and he'll also give us his thoughts on Raphael Varane's potential move to Manchester United. 53106 is the text number at Off the Ball on Twitter. Neil Tracy is with us. Evening, Neil.
Hi, Nathan. How are you?
I'm all right. And Joe Malloy is there as well. Evening, Joe.
Gents, how are we? How are you doing?
We will also be keeping a very close eye on the final couple of hours on, well, the longest day of the golfing year, which is the first round of the Open Championship. 6:30 they started this morning, and they'll probably be there till around about 9 o'clock tonight, but it's been a cracking first day. The leaderboard as it stands, Louis Westhuizen, who has finished as runner-up in the last two major championships and 6 times in all. He leads the way on 6 under par after a first round of 64. Just a shot clear of the boy wonder, though, Jordan Spieth and also Brian Harman. There's a big group on 4 under par that includes the former champion Stuart Sink. Rory McIlroy among those players out on course at the moment. It's been a bit of a grind for McIlroy. He's just holed a birdie putt on the par 5 14th, though, so he's on 1 over par. Shane Lowry, difficult day for him as well, finished up on 1 over. Patrick Harrington missed a tiddler on 18. Couldn't have been any more than 2 feet. That saw him drop a shot, so he finished up on 2 over par. So that is day one. I've been sort of flicking in and out, Joe. I know have you done the 13 hours straight?
I wish. I've been doing pre-records and different things, so I haven't seen as much of this as I want to. I hit record from 6:30 a.m. and anytime I've had a spare 15 minutes, I've gone in and watched some. So funny, I know McIlroy has not done well. He started so well. I don't know if you saw any of this. He was phenomenal for the first 4 holes. Should have had a birdie on the second to follow his birdie on the first. Now, where I'm watching, he's about to enter a stretch where he has 3 bogeys in a row on the front 9. But I don't see where it's coming from, because like I said, he started very well. So I'm curious to see where it unraveled for him. And I mean, Westhuizen, we were talking about him on the podcast yesterday, Nathan. This guy finished second at the USPGA. He finished second at the US Open. He's a Rolls Royce of a player. He was 25-1 coming into this tournament. It was an insult. It was an insult to Louis, Nathan. He should have been about 16-1. So he was overpriced. People look at him and feel he doesn't have killer instinct, but he has won an Open before in runaway fashion. And I just listened to his interview there on Sky Sports live as I was watching it, but probably about 5 hours ago, and he was telling Tim Barter that he's just swinging the club really well, feeling good, flighting it how he wants to, and crucially on these greens, he says, I'm just seeing the lines, I'm seeing the lines on these greens, and that's always an ominous sign. But hey, look, Westhuizen and Spieth as 1 and 2 in the leaderboard, I think we'll both take that to kick things off with.
Absolutely. There are a few things as exciting in sport, and I'm not just saying this as a golf fan, as Jordan Spieth in contention over the weekend as a major championship. He will talk you through the weekend. If somehow you haven't got on board the Jordan Spieth train and you're only taking an interest in golf in the last 2 or 3 years, where things haven't really happened for him, Jordan Spieth, despite looking as quite a dull competitor, is as interesting a sports person as there is. He talks to his caddy, he talks to his golf ball, he will explain everything as he's going around the course, and he's back in form as well. If you take away the majors this year, he's probably been the best golfer overall on the PGA Tour, from a player who this time last year was in absolute crisis. His putting had gone. His game off the tee, you were nervous watching him because anything could have happened. But he has it on a bit of a string so far this year, and he knows links greens inside out, looks so, so comfortable, and it's bloody exciting to see him there as well. Shane Lowry, as we said, a little bit frustrating, started slowly, never got it going, and went over par, certainly not out of it. It'll be one of the later starters tomorrow, and as I mentioned, Harrington will be absolutely sick with the putt he missed. I don't know if you saw it. It couldn't have been from any more than a foot and a half on the 18th for par, and probably just a little lack of concentration, and finished up on two over par. Of course, coming into this, the story once again, regardless of all the history of the Open, regardless of them missing a year and have been back, was Brooks and Bryson and their spat, and Brooks using his press conference to have yet another pop at Bryson, and Bryson sort of sheepishly trying to play it all down and get on with it. Bryson was the centre of attention when he teed off this morning and had a difficult enough day of it. He was again in that group on one over par and was quite wild at times, and here's what he had to say about what was going wrong for him in his post round interview.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great, but again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks. It's not a good face for me, and we're still trying to figure out how to make it good on the miss hits, and you know, I'm living on the razor's edge, like I've told people for a long time. And you know, when I did get it outside of the fairway, like in the first cut and whatnot, I catch jumpers out of there, and I couldn't control my wedges. So it's quite finicky for me because it's a golf course that's pretty short. And so when I hit driver up there and it doesn't necessarily go in the fairway, it's right in the first cut or whatever, or it's in the hay, it's tough for me to get it out onto the green and control that. But when it's in the middle of the fairway, like I had it on 18, I was able to hit a nice shot in there to 11 feet and almost made birdie.
I watched too many Bryson DeChambeau press conferences than is possibly good for you, but I haven't heard him talk about his driving being on the razor's edge because of his driver. So, somebody in Golf Weekly got on to Cobra. So Bryson uses a Cobra Rad Speed driver, and I'm sure Cobra pay him a lot of money to ensure that he uses their Cobra Rad Speed driver, and asked them about the issues that Bryson DeChambeau is facing. And here's what the Cobra rep had to say. Everybody's bending over backwards. You've got multiple guys in R&D who are CADing, which is computer aided design, this, and they're CADing that. They're trying to get to this and that into the pipeline faster. Bryson knows this. Showman, who was the guy from Cobra, said it's just really, really painful when he says something that stupid. He's never really been happy, ever. Like, it's very rare when he's happy. Now he's in a place where he's swinging a 5-degree driver with 200 RPM at ball speed. Everybody's looking for a magic bullet. Well, the magic bullet becomes harder and harder to find the faster you swing and the lower your loft gets. Which is as cutting a remark as any golf rep has ever made.
I know. I can imagine Ben Showman spitting out his cornflakes this morning when he got that news in the States. He also added, it's like an 8-year-old that gets mad at you. They fly off the handle and say, I hate you. But then you go, whoa, no, you don't. It's still incredibly stupid, though. I would say they're fuming. Bryson has just puked all over their brand, said the driver is rubbish. I think Ben Showman's absolutely right when he says, when you swing at 200 miles an hour, if you miss hit the ball, there's only so much we can do for you. The miss hits are going to be bad. So I can just imagine the reaction in Cobra this morning. I mean, when he's saying things like, Bryson's never been really happy, to be honest. Like, it's rare when he's happy. You know, this was full on response from Schumann. Bryson's difficult, isn't he, Nathan? Because I think in the last while, we both felt degree of sympathy for him over the Brooks Koepka situation, where Brooks is very much the aggressor now and Bryson's trying to cool the situation without losing face completely and pandering completely to Koepka. He's trying to retain his dignity, but he wants out of this blood sport at the moment that Koepka's enjoying. So in that way, he's a slightly sympathetic figure, but in other ways he's hitting the ball straight at fans and not shouting for. He's definitely quite arrogant, and then, you know, outbursts like today.
And there's no great support from, because I know we've debated this a lot on Golf Weekly about, you know, is it bullying? Does it verge on bullying? We don't know Bryson and Brooks. Is it all contrived? The one thing that hasn't really happened is anybody come out during this and say, oh, no, no, like, Bryson's a good guy. Bryson's a really good guy. Leave him alone. That hasn't happened. Nobody has come to his defense at all within the game of golf.
Like, I don't really think Team Cobra coming out from him anymore. So that one's gone as well.
His caddies just quit.
Yeah, that's true. This guy, Ben Schumann, caddied for him 2 weeks ago as well. So, I mean, Ben thought Bryson were tight, you know, me, you, Cobra. Like, Bryson, by the way, is a man. I know not everyone cares very much about golf, but like when he wins big tournaments and he's asked, you know, US Open, Bryson, this is an amazing moment for you, how does it feel? His first answer is, I'm going to ignore your question, I want to thank my sponsors. You know, he's militant about thanking his sponsors, but then turns around today and says this. Like, he's just so frustrated, obviously. And so I kind of, these things happen, I give him a pass. I don't really think it's the end of the world, but like, he's not helping himself, is he?
Neil, as the non-Golf Weekly nerd, are you interested in Brooks v. Bryson?
I am, actually. I find it very, very interesting. I'm really, really enjoying it, I have to say. Unlike DeChambeau complaining about the driver, to go back to what you were saying, like just the absolute cheek of him that, as your man Schumann had pointed out, he's got a 5-degree driver. He is hitting a completely different club to anyone else. He's swinging at about 400 miles an hour. And it's Cobra's fault that it's not landing, if not on the fairway, maybe just, you know, on the first cut or something like that. It's an unbelievable level of arrogance to be complaining about that the manufacturer isn't doing things right, when you have the most bizarre swing in golf, you have the most bizarre set of demands and unique set of golf clubs out there, and you've all those people working away on them. I find DeChambeau just an absolutely infuriating player all around. It's an ugly swing. The fact that he never shouts four as well is just so off-putting. And I know Joe, you kind of said it a few times on the show that the Brooks Koepka stuff is borderline bullying, and you know, you were maybe sort of feeling a little bit sorry for DeChambeau at certain times over the last couple of months, but like it's just so hard to like the guy.
I think he loves the attention. Like, Harrington is quite good on, you know, the science behind DeChambeau, but we'll also say, you know, he's building up the brand. So we all know Bryson DeChambeau now, and you can even see it in the coverage today. Like, DeChambeau was wild off the tee at times, and, you know, it'll go 15 yards to the left of the fairway, but all the commentary is, that is a mile wide, that is a mile. And like, lots of players were hitting it in the rough all day. In fact, everybody's been in the deep, deep stuff. With DeChambeau, though, everything seems bigger. Everything seems more drastic and dramatic. And I think that's his post-round interview. He plays into it, which means once again, we are talking about him. I think a part of him does just love the attention.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's very true what you're saying about the commentary team, though. I mean, he's not even often the longest at a tournament. And as you said, every single shot he hits, they're talking about it like they've never seen it before. And you're thinking, McIlroy just hit that 50 yards further like 10 minutes ago. So there's a bit of that going on. And mother of God, if one more commentator tells me in 2021 that he's a scientific approach to golf, I mean, that there's just no need to say that anymore. That ship has sailed.
Barry,
that's what we were saying in 2017 or 18, I think, wasn't it?
That was the former Bryson. Barry says, it's not the tool that's the problem, it's the tool who's swinging it. Which is sort of what I say to myself on the range. I mean, a lot.
To be fair, part of me has some sympathy for Bryson, because I have the same problem with my driver. And, you know, it's
come
a
on,
dud
Colbert,
driver.
Sort it out.
It's a dud driver, clearly. Yeah, well, I mean, Peter Laurie, who's on the podcast with us, has often said, in particular at Opens, where the rough is up and you got to find fairways, that Bryson's approach would end in tears. That there is, you know, not much room for error when you're swinging the club that fast. So that's coming home to roost a little bit as well. Like, I think what Cobra don't really want to say, but is the truth, when you're swinging that fast, it's really, really hard for us to give you a major safety net.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see these come out with some sort of an apology tomorrow. 53106 is the text number. The news round is brought to you by Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. And the Open is where you're starting, Neil.
Yeah, Nathan, and the Irish finding the going tough on day one of the Open Championship at Royal St. George's. Rory McIlroy, the only Irish player still out on the course, he's now back to 1 over par through 14 holes. He's just made a birdie in the last few minutes on number 14. So 4 holes left to play for him. He's 1 over par, but it leaves him 7 shots off the lead. Former winner Louis Oosthuizen out in front on 6 under. He had a bogey-free round of 64 this afternoon, with the early starters generally doing well today. American pair Brian Harman and Jordan Spieth in a tie for second on 5 under. Of the 3 other Irish players, they're all over par and in the clubhouse. Padraig Harrington is 2 over. Darren Clarke and Shane Lowry both signed off on 1 over par rounds of 71. And Lowry says, despite struggling at times today, it was a special feeling to play out there as the defending champion.
It was a very special day for me. You know, the announcement on the first tee, I've been waiting over a year for that. So is quite nice. It was quite unsettling at the start. I didn't, you know, get off to a pretty nervy start, but you know, I battled hard for the rest of the day. But it's so good to have the crowds here, and it's so good to be playing in the Open Championship, like we know, like, you know, the big grandstands and the big crowds and getting clapped onto tees and onto greens. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll keep you up to date with McIlroy then as he finishes off his round over the next hour or so. And of course, if you want any amount of Open Championship coverage, get on to otbsports.com/golfweekly. Sign up, $3.99 a week on Patreon. There is a live watch-along coming your way on Sunday afternoon, and then the review pod will be with you on Sunday night as well. Our boy Troy, by the way, Troy Merritt, our friend of the pod, 3 over par. In the first round, so hopefully he'll manage get it back and make the cuts. So talk to you in a few months, Troy.
Yeah. At what point is he no longer our boy?
I'd say when he wins a tournament, it'll be his decision that he's no longer our boy.
True.
That's probably how this relationship
I don't think you're in charge in any way in this in this part of the conversation.
No, it's
very
true.
It is very true. So Richie isn't here. I presume Richie's not here. Is he gone to the Aviva for the evening?
Yeah, I'm 99.9% certain that's the case. But as you mentioned there, Ireland against Iceland on two fronts this evening in the Europa Conference League. 7:45, Bohemians up against Stjartnan, level at 1-1, but Bohs have the advantage of the away goal from 7 days ago. Sligo Rovers, however, it looks like they're heading out in the first round of the Europa Conference qualifiers. They trail another Icelandic side, FH, by 2-0 on the night, 3-0 on aggregate. So they've played 62 minutes of their game this evening at the showground. So Sligo Rovers 2-0 down on the night, 3-0 down on aggregate at the showgrounds, and then 7:45 Bohemians up against Stjartnan.
There's been a lot of brilliant coverage throughout the week on the fallout from Euro 2020 and all that happened at Wembley, both around the stadium that night and also, of course, the reaction to the missed penalties from Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho and Bukayo Saka. They've all now released really powerful statements. Bukayo Saka, in the last couple of hours, has released a statement as well, Neil.
Yeah, he has, Nathan. Some very powerful stuff in it. He says he expected to be targeted by racists on social media after his penalty miss in the Euro 2020 final, but he says the negativity isn't going to break him. He saw his penalty saved as Italy won at Wembley, and that followed, or what followed, were a lot of sickening messages to himself and Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho. 5 people have been arrested so far by police in England after England's players were targeted for racist abuse on social media. And in a lengthy social media post, Saka says he knew straight away he would be subjected to targeted racism and has called on the social media platforms to step up their efforts to stamp out racial abuse. Just to read you a couple of lines from that statement, he says, "For those who have campaigned on my behalf and sent me heartfelt letters, wished me well and my family well, I'm so thankful. This is what football should be about. Passion, people of all races, genders, religions and backgrounds coming together with one shared joy of the roller coaster of football. To the social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I don't want any child or adult to have received the hateful and hurtful messages that me, Marcus and Jadon have received this week. I knew instantly the kind of hate I was about to receive, and that is a sad reality that your powerful platforms are not doing enough to stop these messages."
I think that was the most powerful line, Joe. The "I knew instantly the kind of hate that I was about to receive." And we all knew instantly the kind of hate that he was about to receive. And we're waiting for it and we're expecting it. And there was nothing that could really be done to stop it. And despite everything we've heard this week and the endless hours of conversation, I've yet to really hear anybody come forward with a plan as to how this could be stopped.
Well, it's just a societal problem and football exposes it. And that's the reality. There's only so much football can do. Is kind of interesting to see that between January and March this year, that Facebook and Instagram removed 33 million pieces of hate speech. And that's a lot of pieces of hate speech in just 2 months. And many of them were before they were reported. So whilst those companies are not doing enough, they have a serious problem on their hands, obviously. And, you know, it's difficult. It's funny, I've never really reported anything on social media, but someone I know was in touch with me just to let me know that they had reported a couple of tweets which were directed at those three players. And again, I don't want to cause offense or anything, but it's instructive, I suppose, in the issue. So these tweets, you know, talked about, you know, bananas and go home to Nigeria and these kind of trigger words. And so the person who had reported those posts got a response from Instagram in this instance. And so what Instagram said was, due to the high volume of complaints, the review team haven't viewed your report. However, our technology has found that this comment, so say the banana one, probably doesn't go against our community guidelines. Our technology isn't perfect and we're working to make it better. We understand this may be frustrating for you, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, understatement of the century if their technology can't pick up those kind of tropes and racial slurs in that instance. So that shows how far their technology, you know, is the extent to which it's not up to scratch. And if so, an individual person has to be employed by the company and has to go through all the reports to sift through them and you know, see that the technology doesn't recognize this as an obvious issue, then, you know, we're going to be a long time waiting. Yeah. So,
and the sheer volume, kind of, when you're talking about 33 million in the space of a couple of months, like, it's not something that can be done by any human.
Very difficult, very difficult. The other, I guess, interesting overall aspect is I've watched a lot of UK political shows this week, and, you know, Newsnight have broadcasted from the Marcus Rashford mural, and it's quite noticeable. The Tories have misjudged this, and they're realising it. So the Newsnight lead was they've misjudged the opening up, and the you don't have to wear masks anymore, and the public are cautious about that. But they've also misjudged this culture war they've embarked on with the footballers, and there's now huge support for the footballers, and increasingly the Tories and Priti Patel starting to look on the wrong side of this one, and they're panicking behind the scenes about this whole situation. Like, it's an incredibly interesting dynamic now that the most high profile people of colour and representatives of working class in England right now are footballers, and they're also a vociferous bunch, and they're not afraid to call out the government, like Tyrone Mings did so beautifully. I don't remember a dynamic like that before. I've nothing more profound to say on it, but I'm watching it very closely, and I think we'll be watching documentaries about this in a decade to come.
Neil, you were on air last night. A proper test, albeit not a test by name, against South Africa A, and the team has been named for the Lions on Saturday.
It has, yeah. Nathan Robbie Henshaw passed fit to make his return this Saturday. The Ireland and Leinster centre has recovered from a hamstring injury to start their final warm-up game against the Stormers in Cape Town. He's among four Irish in the starting team, alongside Tadhg Furlong, Tadhg Byrne and Jack Conan. Meanwhile, tour captain Alan Wynne-Jones will also make his return from a dislocated shoulder, having been named among the replacements. Head coach Warren Gatland was asked today what role we're likely to see Jones play on Saturday in Cape Town.
No, he's not fit. That's why we selected him. look, we wanted him to... we feel if he's going to put himself in contention, he needs 20 minutes. So we've had that conversation with him about, you know, I know he's travelled and has arrived today, but, you know, if he's in contention for next week, he needs to have a run, and so we need a head out for him. So that was why, you know, we wanted him to have that. And then for a few other players, they've been doubling up a bit, so they get an opportunity to rest and freshen up.
We're running out of time, but this, I think, really whet the appetite last night, Neil, for what's to come on Saturday week.
Yeah, it really did. It just, like, it was a test match in all but name. And, like, we knew going into it, it was going to be right up there. But I just felt that the middle third of the game in particular, probably from about 30-odd minutes when the Lions were building pressure up until they got it to around 17-13, probably to around the hour mark or so. So that middle section of the game, it just felt like the physicality was there, the intensity was there. There was a bit of a niggle off the ball as well between the two sides. And it just felt like a completely different sport almost to what I'd been watching over the previous four games on tour, you know?
The tour needed this, Joe.
Oh, big time. I mean, I think it's a great night for South Africa, Nathan. They would have pitched up in far sharper fashion than anyone would have anticipated. Of the Lions' 13 points, they scored 10 of them against 13 men. So I think that South African dressing room are thinking, we can hold these fellas out, actually. We had the edge here. Lions kicked terribly in the first half. They were done at the breakdown. They'll have to fix that. And in the air, they lost the aerial battle in the first half as well. So I think it was a rude awakening for the Lions, a bit of a reality check. I think the South Africans are very happy this morning. That's a psychological blow dealt, I think.
Yeah. Well, remember, every single Lions game is live here on Off the Ball, and that match against the Stormers is going to be live on Saturday, 5 o'clock. Neil is going to be back, full commentary coming your way. Sean Cronin's going to be alongside you for that one. And then we have Brian O'Driscoll and Alan Quinlan on co-commentary for the three test matches, which are coming up soon. Joe, thank you as always. Enjoy the rest of the golf this evening and
likewise,
over the weekend.
Cheers.
Should be a cracker.
Cheers.
Neil, enjoy. Best of luck over the weekend with the Lions match. Thank you as well. And just to let you know as well, another chance to enter our competition.
The 20K giveaway on News Talk.
Yes, now I'm pumped. We're giving you the chance to win a life-changing sum of money, 20 grand, and it could all be yours this Friday. That is tomorrow. All you got to do to be able to chance to win is answer this question. Tell us, where are the 2020 Olympic Games being held? Is it A, Tokyo, or B, Hong Kong? Text the word play, followed by A or B to 57599. That is, text the word play, followed by A or B to 57599. Entries cost 250 and you must be over 18 to enter. We're running this right across the Go Loud network, and you'll find full terms and conditions on newstalk.com. You got to get your entry in by 3 o'clock this Friday, and we could be calling you to give you 20 grand tomorrow. So get your entries in right now, and the very best of luck to everybody. Tommy Bowe is coming up in a moment, but just to let you know, Jess Kelly has been in touch, and she's got a brand new show on YouTube called Tech Bites. I know what you're thinking, JP. More Jess Kelly? Where does she find the time? But she's got herself a brand new show. It's on YouTube. It's called Tech Bites. And every episode will talk you through the latest and the greatest devices. Episode 1 puts the iPad Air up against the iPad Pro 2021. You don't want to get the iPad Pro 2021 when you could get the iPad Air, I'm presuming is what she's saying. Or maybe it's the other way around. But if you watch her show Tech Bites on YouTube, you will find out. Just search for News Talk on YouTube and subscribe to that. Well worth doing. She'll be doing lots of recommendations about all the best tech gadgets on that every single week. Quick break, and we'll be talking to Tommy Bowe next.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.